Radio Prague News.
The new head of the government agency Czech Invest has said the country must prioritize foreign investments with added value and modern technology. The government has earmarked more money for research and development, and the Vatican has approved the process of beatifying Bishop Josef Hloch. The new head of the government agency Czech Invest, Silvana Jurotovková, has said the country must in future prioritize foreign investment that will bring added value and modern technology to the Czech Republic, rather than just job opportunities. Jurotovková said she was working on a new strategy in which Czech Invest would focus on three groups of clients: foreign investors, Czech small and medium-sized companies and startups, which it would try to link up and create new synergies. She said she was also planning organizational changes in the agency. The Czech government has earmarked 36 billion crowns in support of science and technology in 2019, which is 2.1 billion more than this year, the deputy head of the Government Council for Research, Development and Innovation, Karel Havlíček, told the CTK news agency on Thursday. The minister stressed the need for better planning in research for the funds to be drawn and used, since 6.9 billion crowns from previous funding remained untapped. Supporting research, development and innovation is a government priority, and the government has approved a resolution which should keep funding stable in the future. President Miloš Zeman is to hold talks with Foreign Minister Martin Stropnický at Prague Castle on Thursday. The meeting is likely to be dominated by the Czech Republic's response to the poisoning of a Russian double agent and his daughter in Great Britain, over which the country is expelling three Russian diplomats. The Czech Republic was directly drawn into the dispute after Russia denied responsibility for the attack and suggested the nerve agent could have been produced in the Czech Republic or a number of other states. President Zeman stirred controversy on the home front by commissioning the country's intelligence services to check out the claim after Prime Minister Andrej Babiš had publicly rejected it as a lie. The Vatican has approved the process of beatifying the former Bishop of České Budějovice, Josef Hloch, which is the first step on the path to sainthood. According to the current Bishop of České Budějovice, Vlastimil Kročil, the beatification process could take around 18 years. Josef Hloch was born in 1902 and was persecuted by the authorities for criticizing the communist regime. In 1950, he was placed under house arrest and later forced out of his diocese. It was not until 1968 that he could return to his post. The Bohuslav Martinů Center in the composer's hometown of Bolička has received a collection of close to 100 letters which Martinů sent to his close friend and compatriot Frank Rybka in the United States. The collection was donated to the center by Rybka's descendants and handed over to the Czech ambassador in the United States, Hinek Moniček. The center has a unique collection of Bohuslav Martinů scores and over 3,600 artifacts relating to the famous composer's life. Many others remain scattered around the world since Bohuslav Martinů spent more than half of his life abroad. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday should be partly cloudy to overcast with scattered showers, predominantly in the eastern parts of the country, and day temperatures between 9 and 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, Czech scouts mark short-lived revival of their movement under communism. Artist Kateřina Šedá aims to restore regular life in one of the country's top tourist destinations, Český Krumlov. And Czech scientists have developed a unique hydrogel that promises more effective treatment of burns and faster healing of fractures in the years to come. We speak to Professor Josef Jančář about the discovery. All that and more coming up, so please stay with us. Members of the Czech scouting movement UNAK are marking the 50th anniversary of the movement's short-lived revival in communist Czechoslovakia in 1968. The scouts were banned a total of three times in their more than 100-year-long history in the Czech lands, first by the Nazis and then twice by the communist regime. Jan Wellinger spoke to the Czech scouts' media contact Jakub Ambrožek about the history of the movement.
It's often said that scouting and totalitarianism are mutually exclusive. The history of Czech scouting is something that speaks about this very richly, because it was three occasions when scouting was banned and then re-established, and that's something that's quite unique in the world. It was first banned by the Nazis in 1940. During the war, there were a lot of illegal scouts and a lot of scouts in the guerrilla troops, and actually about 700 scouts died during the Second World War. And that's probably why after the war in 1945, when it was reestablished, there was a giant interest of people in scouting, and there were over 100,000 scouts in the first months. But then the communists came, and 1948 came, and again it was proven that scouting and totalitarianism are mutually exclusive, because the scouting philosophy and the scouting values give new opportunities and new options to young people, and that's something that couldn't be allowed.
The anniversary that is being marked now is the 50th. That was the brief reinstatement, is that correct, of scouting still during the communist period, but in the 1960s there was a thaw in the famous Prague Spring?
Yeah, it was again just 3 years. Now it was from 1968 to 1970. During the Prague Spring, when scouting was reestablished, there were tens of thousands of people applying new troops all over the country. But it was, with the tanks coming, it was clear that it won't last.
Many of the scouting traditions in illegality still survived. The Czechs have also a very long tramping tradition. They have a tradition of being in nature. Would you say that in this way, some of the values sort of survived until they could again be revived after the revolution?
Yeah, totally. And some of the troops actually went into the official organization, and they were trying to maintain the scouting values within the organization. And those dilemmas that those people were actually experiencing, if, you know, they are supposed to go full illegal or go into the organization, those were really dramatic, and they are depicted in a movie called Scouts Without the Lily, which is available with English subtitles as well. It's quite incredible. Next year we will celebrate 30 years of freedom, so let's hope that this freedom continues.
Jakub Ambrožek, the Czech Scouts media contact, talking there to my colleague Jan Wellinger. Český Krumlov is one of the country's top destinations. However, extreme levels of tourism have forced locals out of the medieval heart of the town. Now, the leading Czech artist Kateřina Šedá is planning to bring normal life back to central Český Krumlov with a highly novel, very absurd project.
We are now here in Český Krumlov, a much smaller, little cute town in Czech Republic.
It's just so condensed.
Just one of scores of tourist videos from Český Krumlov that you'll find on YouTube. After Prague, it's one of the Czech Republic's most visited destinations. Its narrow streets constantly thronged, in the summer months in particular. In fact, the South Bohemian town, population 13,000, is visited by around 2 million tourists every year. The internationally renowned conceptual artist Kateřina Šedá says this has deeply impacted Český Krumlov.
It has caused the depopulation of the centre, as has happened in Venice and other similarly plagued destinations. Also, the locals are divided into two groups. They call it a schizophrenic town. Locals live on the outskirts and often don't even want to enter the centre.
Na okraji, často se jim do toho centra ani nechce.
To highlight this situation, Šedá is planning to engage individuals and families to live in the very heart of the medieval town for 3 months this summer.
To znamená, že nabídnu obyvatelům startovací byty.
I will offer residents start apartments which are usually provided to young families and the socially excluded. I'm also offering them jobs on the basis of what Krumlov most needs, and that is the pursuit of normal life. They will do this in the center during the high tourist season and we'll pay them for it.
Normální život za honorář, který my jim vlastně budeme platit.
Sheda famously brought a whole Czech village to London's Tate Modern back in 2011. Her art frequently involves social themes, and she insists her latest project isn't intended as a show for tourists.
Tím cílem a tou reflexí, kterou by měla přinést nějaký film.
The ideas generated should result in a book or film. The aim is above all to absorb the experiences of the participants, not to perform some theatre. Naturally, I am aware of the pitfalls and I did a lot of research in Krumlov. And of course, our approach is very absurd.
A samozřejmě to naše řešení je velmi absurdní.
The project's entitled Unest So, which is a play on the Czech words unest and so, meaning take away and what, as in, what do tourists get out of the place? It refers to the fact that Český Krumlov is on the UNESCO World Heritage List. Kateřina Šeda's novel Social Experiment will begin in late May and is the Czech Republic's entry in the Venice Architecture Biennale. During that prestigious exhibition, our UNESCO office at the Czech Pavilion will carry a live video feed from the streets of Český Krumlov.
Ian Willoughby with that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature with Daniela Lazarová.
Professor Josef Jančář and his team at the Central European Institute of Technology in Brno have developed a unique degradable hydrogel that should in due time make it easier to heal very serious burns and can be used to fill bone material in complicated fractures. It may even help with a gradual release of drugs in the body and thus influence the treatment of cancerous growth. After 10 years of development, the research center has succeeded in obtaining a European patent, which guarantees the right to future production of this product for medical use. I spoke to Professor Jančář about the possibilities opening up and began by asking him to explain what the hydrogel is. Can you explain what it is and how it works?
Okay, the hydrogels, hydrogel is a combination of a solid and a liquid. You know that from various products like contact lenses or diapers and other, hygienic products. Principally, it consists of a network, which is usually molecules connected by weak bonds. And a liquid, which in hydrogels is water. And many tissues are actually hydrogels, such as liver, portion of skin. I mean, the human body itself is about 65% water. And the water is weakly bound by various biomolecules. And the researchers worldwide are actually trying to develop either synthetic or combination of natural and synthetic polymer networks, which will resemble these tissues, and use these networks along with water to replace either missing tissues or, for example, cover wounds or burns. And in some instances, it is used to cultivate cells or tissues outside the body, and then use it for, let's say, drug testing or other research or serum production. Our material consists of a combination of biological natural polymers and a synthetic one, which has the ability to, depending on its composition, to control its solubility in water, which will then be decisive for the speed at which the material is dissolved in the body.
So to be very specific, can you explain how it will help patients?
Well,
What it can be used for?
Yeah, it is very far from going to patients, because as you know, the process from laboratory to the patient is generally, let's say, 10 years under good conditions, because first you have to go through so-called in vitro tests, which are tests where you use just cells cultivated outside the body. Then you have to go through animal testing to prove the efficacy of the process. And after having all these data showing that there is no side effect for the health of the body, you can ask for human clinical testing.
And you are now at the stage of testing animals.
Yeah, we are principally in the stage of testing animals. We started with rabbits and mice, which is the test animal, and now we are in a testing using miniature pigs, which are generally genetically the closest to the human. So it's the final stage. Once we will have the results on miniature pigs, then we can probably proceed to ask the approval for preclinical testing on using humans.
And how are you hoping that it may potentially help humans? In what areas would it help?
Well, principally the first area is the wound coverage. There is a large number of different wounds, either from surgical procedures, diabetic ulcers, and wounds from trauma. So principally all of these require a moist environment for healing. They also require the access of oxygen for the cells which are actually working on repair of the tissue. And hydrogels have the ability to do it. They cover the wound. We can add additives, which are bactericide. In other words, they will prevent infection, but they will also allow, bioactive substances to accelerate healing and probably reduce the amount of scars which are after the healing process is finalized. We also have some results over the last 10 years when we use these hydrogels with strengthening additives such as hydroxyapatite use it in a healing large defects in bones. These tests also went through the miniature pigs. And right now there is a group in the faculty hospital here in Brno which is applying for tests on humans.
If I simplify it, does that mean that in future it could help to mend broken bones faster?
That's one possibility. There are some already on the market, some materials which can do that, but none of them is useful for all types of procedures. Our material will be very good in augmenting missing bones. For example, if you have a trauma to the face or cosmetic surgery, and you have to add some bone tissue to an already existing bone, then you can use this material as a scaffold for your own cells to ingrow into this portion and to augment the missing bone. There can be resections after cancer treatment.
And apparently this hydrogel could be like specifically tailored to individual patients and is degradable, so it would disappear after a time. Is that right?
That's correct. The hydrogel itself can be actually considered a base material, and then additives can be added into this material for a specific application. That's one possibility. And then also, for example, we are looking for a specific patient, they can be used as a carrier for cells, mesenchymal stem cells or other types of cells, which are taken from the patient, then cultivated on this material outside the body, and then implanted to solve the problem. Because one of the problems which often happens in this procedure is that the body does not accept either synthetic material or cells taken from animals.
I understand that it can even assist the gradual release of drugs in the body, and you're hoping that in this way it could help in the treatment of cancer. Is that right?
I would be very careful. We don't want to make an impression that the material is good for everything.
Right.
It is really a fundamental material which we can work with, and one possibility, of course, is that we can actually, the European patent we just received is on additive which is based on a specific polymer which is able to form nano-containers, and these containers can be used as vehicles to deliver drugs. It's a worldwide effort in doing so-called targeted drug delivery. In other words, you want to have these containers to have specific surface grooves which will attach to specific cells. But that's very far from going to the patient. So I will be very careful in that. I don't want to make an impression that we already are there.
Having said all that, it does seem that this hydrogel has a very broad use. Did you aim for that, or did its effectiveness come as a surprise to you?
No, I mean we developed the material directly for this particular use. What we have learned, and my colleagues like Professor Vojtova and her synthetic team, principally we came to a conclusion that adding some additional ability of this material, such as, for example, being able to be stabilized by UV light, for example, will give it a specific field of application. In general, hydrogels are used, as I said, from hygienic products to materials which can be used in disinfection and so forth. So, principally, we can add multiple additives, and the additives which are added into the material can have multiple effects, from a bactericide effect to, accelerating cell proliferation to, changing color, for example, if you wish.
Have you been cooperating with scientists abroad, or is this strictly your project?
We have a broad collaboration with universities from the U.S., U.K., Germany, Austria, and international collaboration is the main working attitude here in Central European Institute of Technology.
Right, and how much interest is there in the drug abroad, potentially?
I mean, the interest is pretty much everywhere. The problem is that despite the fact that the scientists are actually working on these systems and describing them, and we also use computer models to predict the behavior of these materials, in order to get them to a real use, there has to be somebody with sufficient capital to bring it from the laboratory to real life. And there is only very few large pharmaceutical companies which are actually able to do that.
Assuming that the tests go well with the animals and patients, and you do find a producer, I know that, scientists are cautious in predicting the potential of their drug or discovery, but when do you think that this gel could start helping people? And how far would you like to see it go?
Well, we would like to see it to help people, and it will be a great satisfaction for us. But the thing is that it really depends on the effort of the potential manufacturer and his ability to bring it through the clinical testing and through the approval by the authorities like FDA or so forth. So, I mean, realistically, I would say if it goes, everything goes well, 8 to 10 years is approximately the time frame we can look at.
Right. Professor Inchart, thank you so much. Thank you very much for your time and good luck with the project.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Professor Josef Jančár was Daniela Lazarová's guest in today's main feature. And now it's time for another episode of our Hit of the Century series, in which we are now in the year 1976.
Hit of the Century. Let's continue with the year 1976. And what did the year bring us in terms of music? According to a critics' poll, the orchestra of the year was the Milan Sobota Big Band from Prague. It was a meeting place for personalities such as Mikhail Kotsab and Ondřej Soukup, who went on to collaborate on many projects over the years, greatly affecting Czechoslovak pop music. That year's Golden Nightingale Award was given to Nadia Urbánková and Karel Gott for the most popular performances. The year 1976 also marked the strengthening of communist control over popular music. The loss of freedom was felt by mass media and by various agencies, culminating in the arrest and sentencing of underground musicians for so-called disorderly conduct. Ballads about unhappy love, misunderstanding, and consolation fit in well with the grey atmosphere of the 1970s. Václav Neckář was one of the outstanding performers of these genres, appearing on radio and on TV. Although he belonged to the band Batsili, led by his brother Jan, the hit I'm going to play to you was performed with the Dance Orchestra of Czech Radio.
Tak tobě, kamaráde, děvče dalo košem, radši jsi mi neměl tohle psaní číst. Škoda, že já, že nejsem listonošem, snad bych ti přines veselejší list. Tady je, kamaráde, každá rada drahá, někam tě pozvat, nebo chceš být sám. Mluvit jen tak, to taky nepomáhá. Co s tebou dělat? Moment, už to mám. Já ti zabrnkám, to možná vyléčí tvůj splín. Já ti zabrnkám, o tom, jak voní rmen a kvíl. Potichu v loukách, o letu včel, o šedi dlouhých chodníků a nábřeží. I o všech dívkách, které si chtěl, a na nichž teď už čím dál míň ti záleží. Ale záleží, já ti zabrnkám i o těch zklamáních, co znám. Já ti zabrnkám, aby ses necítil tak sám. O tom, co končí, co bude dál, o květu třešně, který v plod se promění. O malých holkách vždyť si je znal, teď mají už jiné tváře, jiná příjmení, jiná příjmení. Já ti zabrnkám.
And that was another song in our series Hit of the Century, which brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.
o tom, jak voní rmen a kmín. Armen, armen a kmín. Já ti zabrnkám, to možná vzpomínám.